You're listening to the weekly teaching podcast of South Hills Church in Corona, California. We hope that what you hear today inspires you to laugh, question, think, and grow. If you'd like to connect with us even further, hit us up online at southhills.org/corona. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
The title of my message today is Pre-Meal Breadbasket. Pre-Meal Breadbasket. I already heard some like, some of you are like, I don't know what this is about, but I feel good about it. And also, we're getting a pre-meal bread basket for lunch, okay? This is happening. Now, my wife and I, this past week, my wife and I celebrated 16 years of marriage just this past Thursday. And this is a picture of my wife to prove that she exists and we are together. This is the two of us, and it's kind of getting that weird place where we've actually been a couple. We've been dating or married for 18 years, so we're 1 year away from actually having been together longer than we've been apart, which is a kind of a crazy thing to think about. And so we've been together for a really long time, and I have learned over the years that to love her is to love and honor her love for bread, okay? And this is just a reality of our relate. Any like bread lovers out here, like you love bread. Like bread is your love language, right? You took that, you know, the five love language test and it says quality time, but you're like, not unless that quality time involves a bread basket. Okay. Like just something, a cinnamon roll. Give me some breadsticks. I need some form of carbs in my life to really feel like you are trying to show me some love. And this is the way my wife is. And so, you know, if you're going to romance this girl, and I hope you don't because we're married. Carbs are going to be involved in this encounter. And so my wife chooses restaurants that she wants to go to based on the pre-meal breadbasket situation. Okay. And maybe you have done this before too, where you're like, should we go here or here? And you're like, this place has the fresh baked focaccia, but this place has the all-you-can-eat garlic breadsticks, right? And this is kind of how she makes decisions. I'm like, what about the main course? What about the entree? And she's like, I don't care about that right now, okay? I'm hungry right now. I want some bread in my life. This is date night. Let's go to a place. And so she makes this decision. And when the bread comes to the table, I've just learned over time, whatever we're talking about has now taken a backseat to the bread basket appearing, right? It's like, I need to be quiet and just wait. She's going to not be able to pay attention for a few minutes until she gets the bread situated, buttered, like dipped in the oil or whatever's going on there on the table, and she's ready to like actually come back to me like consciously. This is just kind of the way that she functions. The issue is she can overdo it, okay? And this is between us, okay, and all the thousands of people listening to the podcast. But like she at times, right, she can overdo it, and when she feels frustrated about it later, and you know, then you know, she says things to me like, why didn't you stop me? And some of you are laughing because you realize this is a trick question, okay? This is not, like, I don't often step in and stop her because, you know, that doesn't go well for me, all right? Last time we were on a date and there was bread involved, the server came back and he did the thing that they always do where he's like, would you like some more bread? And at this point, like I'm on a kick where I'm not really eating a lot of carbs, and so she was really the only one partaking in the bread basket, and she was a loaf and a half deep. Okay, I'm just gonna be real with you people. And so I just assumed that she was done. You know what I mean? I made an assumption in the moment, which I shouldn't have done. And I just said quickly, no. And she was trying to say yes at the same time. And so I was like, no. She was like, yeah, yes. And then she gave me that look like, what are you doing right now, right? Like this very evil look, and I felt like I was in trouble. It was this look that really was trying to communicate, like, do not try and limit my carb intake right now. I know what you're trying to do, and you don't understand how difficult the children were today, okay? And like, I'm living for this bread right now, okay? Like, I need this in my life, and I'm gonna go as many loaves as I wanna go tonight, right? And she didn't say any of that, but she said it with her eyes. And this is how you know, when you've been with somebody for like 18 years, they can give you the like, like kind of look, and you understand the paragraph that was just spoken to you through the eyes. And this is, I mean, I've been with this woman for so long. And so I was just like, I knew to just kind of back off and just be like, yes, we will be having some more bread at this time. I don't know what I'm talking crazy. You know what I mean? To the guy. And he's just like, something weird is going on with these people. And so he brought out another basket of bread to us. And, at the time I'm thinking like, this is not going to end well. You know what I mean? Like, she's not going to be hungry when the meal comes, you know? And I told her that, you know, which was a mistake. I said, you're not going to be hungry when the meal comes. And she just looked at me and she was like, I know what I'm doing. And I was like, okay. And what actually happened was the meal came and she was not hungry for the meal. Okay. But she had eaten quite a bit of bread at that juncture. Okay. And 90% of the food that we actually paid the money for, okay, at this delicious Italian restaurant, just went home in a doggy bag, right? And not only that, but as we're leaving, she actually says to me, she's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I do not feel good. It feels like it's growing in there. I had to undo one of my pants buttons. I'm just going to be honest with you for safety reasons. And, you know, we'd been through this before, right? And, you know, I knew that this meant that there was going to be no romance later, okay? And I was feeling a little bit frustrated about it, but I knew I couldn't say, I told you so. And so, you know, what I went with was just like, that is unfortunate, you know, to which she said predictably, why didn't you stop me? To which I said, this is unwinnable. And I tell you this because here's the thing. I think we've all had times where we, you know, sat down and we felt empty and we stuffed ourselves with whatever sounded good in the moment or maybe it was easily accessible only to regret it later. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's just what's at hand. It's not necessarily like what you ordered. It's not necessarily what's actually going to feed you or sustain you. It's not necessarily what you need. It's just there. And it sounds good, right? For some of us too, like, you know, sometimes even when we're about to do it, we even think, this is a bad idea. But I'm probably going to do it anyway. Right? You ever been to there at that moment? You're like, even you have the check at the time. You know it's not a real solution. We know it's there's going to be a cost. We know that you know, the high is going to be fleeting and the low is going to be incredibly devastating. We know that we're kind of avoiding, you know, the real issue, even though we may not even know what the real issue is yet, but we all do this. And maybe you're realizing that this isn't just a thing that we do with food. In the recovery movement, regardless of kind of what addiction you're talking about, whether you're talking about, you know, trying to stop drinking or to stop gambling or to stop overeating, whatever it is we're talking about, there's this question that's posed that is, you know, what problem are you using that substance to solve? What problem, if you were actually to stop and think about it, what problem are you using that substance to solve? Which, of course, begs another question, which is it working? And if the answer to that is no, then you're not solving your problem, you're avoiding it. And how many of us do that? Like, we get to the end of a day, to the end of a season, to the end of a moment, right? And we have this sense that things are not going in life like the way we want them to, like that we're frustrated, that we're not fulfilled, and yet we sit down and instead of actually addressing the thing that is the real problem, we just grab at whatever sounds good or is in front of us for some sort of a temporary fix. And then we evil eye the person across from us that's like, don't even tell me that I'm going to regret this later. I kind of just want what I want. In other words, maybe the drinking isn't really about the drinking. Maybe the shopping isn't really about the shopping. Maybe the video games aren't really about the video games. Maybe the workaholism isn't really about doing well at the job. Maybe the overeating really has nothing to do with food. You see, we convince ourselves in life that, you know, what we really need is like another drink or another bite or another hit or another purchase or another accomplishment or another compliment. But there's always a need behind the need. There's always a need behind the need. Or as the great theologian Bruce Springsteen once said, everybody's got a hungry heart, right? How many of you are old enough to know who Bruce Springsteen is? That makes me feel super good right now because I do. And it helps if you even picture this in Bruce Springsteen's voice. Everybody got a hungry heart. Right, like that. I don't even know. Sometimes I don't even know what words he's saying. I have to look up the lyrics because it's just, it's just that pattern of singing. And yet this sentiment is true because I think it points to this deeper reality that an overactive physical appetite is sometimes an indication of an ignored spiritual appetite. That sometimes like this desire we have like physically that we just kind of want to eat this thing or we kind of want to go get that or we kind of want to have this experience or we kind of want to get these accolades, that all of these things that we're doing to feed this overactive physical appetite, this appetite in our soul that just can't seem to be filled, that kind of as soon as we feed it, it bloats us, right? And then it quickly, because it doesn't fulfill us, it quickly moves on and then we're left hungry again, because the hunger really isn't in our stomach, it's in our soul. The hunger really isn't for like this thing that we're chasing, it's for something maybe deeper. But the thing is, we're not always self-aware enough to know what's going on, or we are, but we're not ready to admit it or actually address it yet. You ever kind of know that you're kind of just coping, but you don't really want to face it or deal with it? You see, your heart may actually be what's hungry, but you know that you can silence it, at least for a while, by just kind of filling your stomach with more bread or whatever your version of that is. And people have always been like this. And let me show you what I'm talking about. In just a minute, we're going to be in the book of John looking at this first I am statement of Jesus. John chapter 6 is where we're going to end up in a few moments. And if you have your Bible and you want to kind of turn there and get ready. But I want to give you some background. In the time of Jesus, bread was a big deal. Okay, it was a staple at every single meal. And sometimes it was the only thing that you would eat for days on end. Like the word bread actually became a stand-in statement for that kind of represented food itself. So to break bread with somebody was not just to actually literally eat bread with them, but it meant to share a meal with somebody. That's what it was in this culture. Bread became this symbol of sustenance. To give somebody bread was to give them life, especially inside of a society where so many people lived below the poverty line, right? And so few people had access to food. And this was due to the occupation of and the overtaxation by the Roman government, which was occupying the Jewish people at the time. And so lots of people had lots of unmet needs in this culture at the time of Jesus on every possible level. They were kept desperate, fearful, reliant, and to keep the peace, to keep the people docile, to keep them from starving and revolting, the emperor practiced what came to be known as something called bread and circus. And it was a grand manipulation. And this is how it worked. And I literally just took this out of a history book that explains this season of Roman history. Bread and circus is, you know, this act of like to generate public approval, not by excellence in public service or policy, but by diversion, distraction, or by satisfying the most immediate or base requirements of a populace. By offering a palliative, for example, food, bread, or entertainment, circus. And so what this actually meant was the emperor would gather the people into a giant amphitheater, and there were like these gladiator battles, right? There was this this entertainment, this kind of low-level entertainment, and then they would throw out bread to the people. And usually the entertainment was some form of violent entertainment, right? In which people were being like fed to lions, like people who are enemies of the state. And it was kind of this way of reminding all of the people, like, you know, If you want what we have, you better do what we say. And this was the way that they kind of placated to the people. It was a way of restricting access to base need and base needs to retain control. And so it's in the middle of this cultural climate that Jesus performs perhaps one of his most famous miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, which he does for free. He doesn't charge for this, okay, just to let you know. Unlimited breadsticks comes with Jesus, okay, that's how he did it too. And my wife is just another reason where she's like, I love Jesus, you know? And everyone eats as much as they want, right, like to their full, which is not something this community of people is used to doing. Like these people are used to like just surviving on crumbs for days at a time, but like when Jesus feeds them, he gives them unlimited bread, as much as they can eat. And in fact, they're full when they're done. Their entire families are full, and there's baskets of leftovers that are collected in the end. Like what happens when Jesus comes on the scene is that, unlike the Roman government, he gives them everything, and they gave him nothing. And the next day, Jesus gets on this boat, and he sails somewhere else. And what do the people do? They follow him, right? Naturally. And this is where the story that we're about ready to read picks up. John chapter 6, verse 25 is where we're going to start together. And this is what it says. So the people follow him, and it says, verse 25, they found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? I love this, by the way. This is hilarious. They're intentionally stalking him, right? They're trying to get bread out of him. He tries to sail away from him, and they're just like, I heard about where he's going. Let's go on the other side and pretend like we just bumped into him. You ever do this where you kind of have a crush on somebody, you know, maybe back in the day? And so you'd be like, yeah, I heard she's going to be at this party. Let's just hang out. Let's just go to that place and just kind of bump around. Just be like, what? When did you get here? I didn't know you were going to be here. Meanwhile, it's like, I knew exactly you're going to be here. That's why I'm wearing such strong cologne and happened to bump into you at this exact moment with your favorite drink, right? Like, this is exactly what this is, what this situation is that's unfolding. Rabbi, when did you get here? Right? And Jesus is like, drop the act. Like, you've been stalking me, okay? You knew I was going to be here. That's why you came here. Verse 26, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous sign. To which they were like, what? No, that's not why we're here. No, we were listening to the stuff that you said. What did it mean? I don't remember right now, okay? Do you got any more of those breadsticks? Right, like they exactly, like he calls them out on it. Verse 27, it says, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. And Jesus is saying something extremely deep here, which these people really aren't interested in hearing at this moment. Because basically, they just want more free food. That's what they're after. Verse 30, it says, they answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? Do some tricks, Jesus. After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And so Jesus just worked a miracle, and these people are like, we want another one. Like, can you do some miracles? Show us what you, like, what can you do? Jesus is like, I just showed you what I could do. And they're like, that was okay. What else you got? What else can you give us? What else can you do? I mean, if you're looking to lead us, don't you know how this works? Where's our bread and circus? Entertain us. Give us some food. Like, this is what we want from you. Give us a sign. Like, do another miracle. I mean, that the bread was great yesterday. And man, I ate so much. I thought I would never be hungry again. But guess what? I am starving right now. What else can you do for me? But the reality is, people whose faith is built on signs and wonders will never see enough. A sign is a signal, not a form of sustenance. The reality is, a miracle exists to illustrate something significant God is trying to say. It's not an end unto itself. It's pointing to something deeper. And this is what these people are completely missing. Like, what is this miracle trying to tell these people? Like, what's the deeper meaning? Like, what is it actually about? These people aren't asking any of these questions because to them, all this miracle that they saw is about, it's just a potential opportunity to get more free bread on a daily basis. That's what they're interested in. They mention Moses and manna, which is a reference to the ancient Exodus story in which God made it rain bread from heaven every morning. Some of you are like, I have literally had dreams about that. Just garlic knots raining from the heavens, landing in dipping sauce, just ready to be plucked up and enjoyed, right? And so they're just like, man, that was it right there. It's this crowd's way of saying, like, man, when we read the story of our ancestors, man, that's the kind of God interaction that we want. Because right now, just trying to get bread on a day-to-day basis, just trying to get our daily bread, and that's an issue for us. But it wasn't an issue back in the day for our ancestors because you know, you actually rained bread from the heaven. Those people were never hungry, but guess what? We're always hungry. Why don't you do something about that? Verse 34, they say it like this. They say, sir. You always say sir when you want something from somebody, right? My kids are always like, yes, sir, when they want to ask me for something, right? Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. You know that delicious bread that you made from scratch yesterday? Can we just have that miracle every single day? That would be amazing. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And what's happening in this passage is that the people are essentially saying, like, we know how this works. Like, we get how power structures and systems function. Like, if we want what you have, right, then we've got to give you what you want from us. Like, if we expect for you to meet our needs, right, then you're probably going to want something from us. Like, if you can't control us, then you're not going to bless us. At least that's the way that we've been trained by the Roman government. At least that's the way we've been trained by our temple system. Every system that we're aware of works this way. And so Jesus, tell us how your system works. What do we have to do to get what we want from you? That's the question that they're asking. But it's a flawed question because Jesus isn't a system to get what you want. He's the source of what you really need. And this isn't ultimately about physical food anyway. It's about spiritual food, which these people are having a hard time seeing in this moment. Verse 47, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Notice there's an exclamation point. He says it the first time, then he yells it the second time, right? Like you do to your kids when you're like, did you not hear me? Okay. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats bread from heaven, however, will never die. What is he saying? He's saying you don't need something from God. You need God. I know you have it in your head that like, man, I just need some more bread. That's going to make me happy. Like, I just need to get that car. I just need to get a house in that neighborhood. I just need to order this next thing online. I just need to get this person to fall in love with me. I just need to get my kids to accomplish this thing so I can live vicariously through them. These are the things that I need. Like, God, can you just give me the things that I need? Can you just work the miracles that are going to solve my surface problems? But you don't need those things. You need God. He's not a system to just get what you want. He's the source of everything you actually need. When Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, he's saying, I can nourish and sustain and strengthen you. I can truly refocus and refuel you. I can ultimately fulfill you. Or you could just settle for another fleeting fix. What is it that you want? All these people are standing outside of this boat that Jesus just got off on saying, like, Jesus, can you just give us, like, enough bread every day to get through the day? Can you just meet this surface hunger that we have? And what Jesus is saying is, you think your stomach is hungry, but I just want you to know your heart is more hungry. That's really the depth of what you need me to address. And in fact, that sign that I performed was just pointing to the sermon I'm trying to give you today, is that there's something deep and transcendent that I want to say to you. I think we often ask God for so much less than he's willing and able to give us. See, the truth is Jesus wants to do more than simply satisfy a surface need for you. God isn't interested in winning your approval by granting you the diversion or distraction you've been begging him for, or simply satiating your most immediate base physical requirements. Jesus doesn't do bread and circus. That's not who he is. He wants to meet the need behind the need in your life. And it's not that Jesus doesn't care about your very real physical appetites. It's that he cares about more than just your physical appetites. He cares about the spiritual starvation that's pushing all of those things into overactive hyperdrive. And again, in this culture, to give someone bread was to give them life, but Jesus doesn't want to just give them enough for today and tomorrow. He wants to give them a totally new way of approaching life altogether. Because what he's doing isn't transactional, it's relational. Jesus isn't telling them what the Roman government was telling them, which is, if you do what we say, we'll ration a little bit of what you need today. But what Jesus is doing is relational. Jesus is saying, I want to give you a new way of relating to reality itself that will change everything about you. In fact, I want to transform you in such a way that even when you don't get what you think you want, you'll realize that you already have what you desperately need. There's this moment earlier in the book of John where Jesus is traveling somewhere and he stops by this well because he's thirsty and hungry because Jesus is human. And there's no food. And so the disciples go ahead and they go to get food. They go to get some bread so that they can come back and break bread with Jesus, right? They're going to go get life and come back and give him life. And so he sits and he has this conversation with this woman who's sitting at the well, and they have this, what feels at first like a surface conversation that turns into a deep spiritual conversation, because that's how Jesus had every conversation
And he tells her about who he really is. He speaks into her life. He affirms her. He reveals that he is God in human form. And he begins to speak new life into her that changes how she sees herself, that absolutely changes her life. And it's in this moment, John chapter 4, verse 31, that the disciples come back and they have the food, they have the bread that they went to go get. In verse 31, it says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. And Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Verse 33, did someone bring him food while we were gone? They're confused. Jesus, why did we hike to town if you had snacks this whole time? I'm starting to feel frustrated. It is desert hot out there, okay? But Jesus is talking in metaphor as he often does. Verse 34, Jesus then explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. What does that mean? Ever felt so connected to the core of your being that you forgot to eat? Ever had a moment in your life, this experience, where you felt so secure, where you felt like you were being who you were made to be, doing what you were made to do, deeply connected to your true self and to God himself. Your soul was at peace. You didn't need the validation or praise or approval of anyone or anything else because something was going on a deeper level that transcended all of that stuff. And maybe it was in a moment where you didn't even end up getting the thing that you thought you originally wanted, but you end up getting what you needed. And you felt surprisingly fulfilled, even though the surface appetite wasn't met, the deeper spiritual appetite was. And that's what's happening in this moment where Jesus is saying, like, no, I was hungry. And in fact, I am hungry on a surface level. But I'll tell you what, there is a deeper driving hunger in the heart of every human that wants something, that wants to feel connected to their creator, that wants to wake up to who they really are, that wants to find a sense of security, that we're often just trying to get a fix to get us through the day, that we're often praying that God would work an extravagant miracle just to get us something that we want. And sometimes the reason God doesn't give us what we ask for is because he knows that as soon as you get it, you'll realize that's not really what you're hungry for. Sometimes he gives it to you so that you will realize it's not really what you're hungry for. And until you realize that you don't need another system that manipulates you or that you can manipulate in order to get a base need met, that what you need is a connection to the source itself. And until you realize this, you will eat and eat and eat and eat and never feel satisfied. Jesus is saying, that's who I am. I am the bread of life. I'm what you connect to in order to satisfy your soul. I can nourish, sustain and strengthen you. I can truly refocus and refuel you. I can ultimately fulfill you, or you can just settle for another fleeting fix. And the reality of it is, we all gather together here on a Sunday morning to eat, to be spiritually fed, to find a connection to who we really are made to be. But the crazy thing about eating is this. You can eat in a group of people, right? Eating is social, but it's also personal, right? You can go out to eat with people, but nobody in your group can eat for you. Have you noticed this? You can do it with other people, but they can't do it for you. And the reality of it is, you can come and be at a church. You can be in a growth group. You can hang out with Christians. You can read your Bible with other people. You can retweet spiritual things, right? But just because you're with people that are eating doesn't mean that you are eating. You have to choose to actually eat the bread of life for yourself. You have to actually choose to connect your soul, to open your heart to who Jesus wants to be to you yourself. And an indicator that you have not yet done this, or that it's been too long since you have done this, is that you feel driven by these immediate hungers that seem to be front and center, where the only thing you care about is just getting another basket of bread. Swiping your card and making another purchase. Trying to get another compliment from your boss. Trying to pay off another piece of debt. Like, if I can just get there, you know what that's going to do for you? It's just going to meet a surface need. And what you think you want is for God to give you some bread and circus, but what you really need is for God to give you himself, the bread of life, to fulfill you deep down. And I'll tell you, when you truly connect to him, you have this sense, I don't need anything else. Man, that's great, but I got to be honest, I got food you don't know anything about. My soul is full. And this is what I wonder today. I wonder what it would look like for you to be more aware of the needs behind the needs in your life. I wonder what it would look like for you to slow down and to determine to allow Jesus to actually feed your spiritual needs, as opposed to just you overfeeding your surface spiritual needs. Because that's who Jesus is. You see, in ancient times, eternal life wasn't just something that began when you died. It wasn't just the idea of living forever. It was this idea of living to the full. It begins now. It begins whenever you meet and connect deeply to Jesus. And this morning, I want to give you just a moment to pause in your life and just to say, maybe there's some needs behind the needs. Maybe this thing that I'm so angry that Jesus won't do for me isn't actually what I need from him. Maybe there's something else, something deeper he wants to do in and for me that'll change everything. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? God, we are grateful that you don't just offer us a relationship, but you define the parameters of that relationship. God, when we learn what kind of relationship it is you really want with us, it's so much bigger and more fulfilling than often what we settle for asking. God, I pray that you would begin to reframe and refocus us this morning. God, that instead of simply asking you to meet our surface needs, which you do care about, which you are interested in meeting, but you care about more than just that. God, we live in a time in history and in a nation in this world in which we actually have more than what we need on a surface level, but we are starved on a deeper soul level, on a deeper spiritual level. And God, I just pray that we would open our hearts, and that instead of just being in a group and hoping that somebody else eats on our behalf, God, that we would open our soul to you to say, God, feed the depths of who I am. God, remind me that I am yours. God, that getting this thing, that accomplishing this goal, that receiving this compliment, that having this delicious meal pass through my lips will not fill my hungry heart. God, I pray that we would sit back and make ourselves available for the real meal that is you that's coming, instead of just filling up on the pre-meal bread basket. God, make it so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message from South Hills Church in Corona, California. We hope you'll continue to connect with us online. We'd love to hear your story, field your questions, and learn how this ministry is impacting your life. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching South Hills Corona.